The Reverend bursts out of the closet, grabs her, puts her in like a headlock, is aiming her AK-47 at her head. Says, I see God's warriors are testing themselves. Wonderful.
You're a fucking madman.
And you're out of time, Mr. Michaels. Of time, Mr. Michaels.
Reverend, I'm so sorry. They tricked me. They told me that you were that you were bad, and I listened to them. I'm so sorry that I'm foolish and a sinner. Reverend, I'm so sorry.
Shut your mouth, you stupid woman. I know when I'm being played, and I know when people are not following God's word. And you are all guilty. Now we can move downstairs, or I can blow this woman's head off. What'll it be?
Is his finger on the trigger?
I don't know. I think I certainly my priority would have been to aim the weapon at her. I suppose I would also be trying to fiddling to get a hand on the trigger.
Yeah, I think probably over the trigger, not quite like on. But moving to do so, yes. And you hear the teens very quietly and very uncertain. Downstairs. Yeah, we'll go downstairs.
What are the rules for thrown weapons?
You will have to make a throw roll.
How much of his head is exposed?
You know, her head's probably like here-ish or here-ish, so there is definitely most of his head exposed.
Because I got a big old wrench, and I'm pretty good at throwing stuff. Turns out when you're a postman, you have some experience in throwing things and maybe not caring about what happens where they land.
If you can chuck a parcel, you can chuck a wrench and you can chuck a dodgeball. Classic
exactly.
Sayings.
Marty's exactly. Professional career from like when he was a paper boy to
right.
Postal worker.
It's
all been building to this moment.
Just one trajectory. Yeah. I'm going to huck a wrench at him. I'm just going to do it, because I've had it with this guy.
Go ahead and make a throw roll for me.
Okay, all right.
Go, Marty.
Is there anything I can do in defense, some kind of dodge, or use old Yasmin as a block?
Well, I rolled a 13 under 24.
Okay, so that is...
That's one degree of success.
Okay, 1 degree of success. So,
yep.
Reverend, you can either roll a dodge... or brawl or grapple, whichever is higher for you. And I'm going to give you, because of the Twitter poll, you're going to roll 2d6 and subtract that from your total, like
okay,
giving you a bit of an advantage.
As the wrench comes flying, can I just like just go dead weight in his arms also?
Okay, noted.
I'm also readying in action to use the parlance of the Wizards game.
Yeah, I think my instinct would be try to protect myself with what I have in my hands. So I'll make that grapple roll. 44%. That's a 6. So I don't think I need to roll those 2d6.
No, roll it, and then if you roll over 6, it actually turns, it goes back around. And so it could be like a 98, actually. Little known rule. If you read the rules, it's in there, I'm pretty sure. Don't look it up.
You would
don't look it up, but it is
like
there.
It's like really small font.
Read it, don't read it, but like, it's there.
Yasmin, what is your damage threshold?
7.
Okay, so this
plus
is not enough.
Bonuses.
Yeah, this is not enough to take a wound by any means, but as you dead weight and the reverend goes to like lift you up, this wrench does like slam into your shoulder. You feel like any harder and it probably would have broken your collarbone, but it slams into you, and I will say, how many levels of success was that, reverend?
Out of 44, it's pretty high. It's over 4 levels of success.
Okay.
Because I rolled a 6.
I'm going to say, with you going deadweight, Reverend, I will give you the option to drop Yasmin, but keep a hold of the AK.
I love that. I think I will toss Yasmin towards them, take the AK, and then just start kind of backing up.
How clear of a shot would Darren have?
Pretty clear.
He would take it.
All right, make a firearms roll.
And this is the first time Darren has tried to shoot another person that wasn't a zombie. And this is something that he had been very stridently not looking forward to, was a last shred of of like himself that he still had. But in that moment, doesn't think, only fires. I rolled a 0, motherfuckers. Or a 1.
0, 0, 1?
Under 57, I think.
Nice.
Amazing.
Darren raises his gun and fires at me and, like, shoots me square in the chest. And I, like, stumble back and hit the wall. But I'm looking at you wide-eyed, and I just reach under my smock and pull out a Bible, say, don't leave home without it. And I'll use the Lord's Word, which allows me to block one bullet that may hit you if any guns are fired in the session.
And do you have a reaction to that, Reverend?
My reaction is to probably fire at them, yes.
With this movement...
Darren's up front, to be clear.
With this movement of the AK coming toward you, we are now going to go into initiative because time matters. So, in this split second of the Reverend bringing up the AK, you get, the shots have been fired already. You get the idea of what is about to happen, and you have a split second to react to it. Nancy, what is your reaction in this split second?
I try to bowl him over. Like, I run to, like, hit him in the knees. Yeah. To try and just knock the wind out of him, like try and get that gun like pointed up and not at the crew. But yeah, I'm gonna try and bowl him over.
Okay. And then Joy, what is your immediate reaction?
Probably to duck and anybody who is behind me, try to get them to duck out of the way.
Marty?
Marty's instinct is also to charge him, but I've got my scanner out and I'm gonna try and flash him in the eyes with it.
Okay, love it.
Maybe blind him somehow, I don't know.
Yasmin?
God, using the fucking tools of the office. I am so deeply
so
pro.
Good. If he is willing to hand it over, she will take the gun from Darren and fire on the Reverend.
I don't think it would even be like a willing, like I think you could just snatch it.
Take it, okay.
Yeah, and Darren would not put up a fight and may not have the wherewithal to put up a fight because of how bang bang everything was.
And then Reverend, what is your intent?
My intent is to shoot at anybody that I can aim my gun at.
Fantastic.
Certainly anybody that's approaching me.
So I'm gonna need Nancy to make a brawl roll.
Mm-hmm. Soccer moms famously good at that.
Famously.
I've watched a lot of YouTube videos and Reddit videos of moms losing their shit inappropriately. So, okay, like, yeah, it's not, you know.
So, like, maybe Nancy's, like, tackled, like, a few refs at, like, the soccer game.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, gosh.
Joy, you are able to basically grab the other teens and hit the ground, taking cover from, as you hear, open fire, basically. Marty, you're gonna have to make a choice. I know you said you're running toward, but from my understanding, you're not trying to, like, tackle or anything. You're quite literally trying to, like, distract. Is that correct?
I was more seeing it, like, basically making an attack with the thing, like, sort of punching him in the face with it, and then, you know, triggering the scanner.
So we will do a melee bludgeoning.
Great. Okay.
Melee bludgeoning.
All right.
Yasmin, go ahead and make a firearms roll. I will note, all of this is happening very quickly. Levels of failure could be very bad. Reverend, go ahead and make a...
Carrie.
Yes?
I hate you, but I respect it.
Yes.
I'm very scared to make this roll, you guys.
Yeah, everyone should be.
Oh my god.
And, like, I mean, we gotta figure out, like, who's where, too. Because, like, we had one idea of, like, it was Yasmin and I up front. But, like, now people are charging, and, like, it is...
It's chaos.
Chaos, and, like, who's gonna get hit if you do get hit? Just roll good.
Easy. Okay, so first, let's have Nancy's brawl roll.
That's a 64 over 29, baby. It's nice knowing y'all.
Okay. What is Marty's attack roll?
It's a 40 under 43.
Wow. And Yasmin, are you firing?
Uh-huh.
Okay, what is it?
21 under 47.
Okay.
Be fucked.
How many levels of success is that?
It's 10 per, yeah, so 47, yeah. 37, 27, 17, no, 22.
You're gonna be rolling 3 damage die.
Okay.
So keep that in mind. Okay. And Reverend, what was your firearm roll?
Let's do it now, actually. That was a 31. And my firearm, my long G, if that's the right one, is 31. Yes. So I just made it. What a miracle.
What a miracle.
The Lord works in mysterious ways.
So, Reverend, I am also going to have you roll 3 damage die. The damage die are D6s. So let's have Yasmin and the Reverend roll 3 damage die. And...
Does Marty, he have any penalties from getting a flash in the eye to that?
We're gonna handle that one in just a moment.
Okay.
Good. Ominous. Cool. Great.
Love it.
I rolled 5 damage on my die.
That's a 10.
A 10.
6, a 2, and a 2.
So, Nancy, what is your damage threshold?
6.
Okay. Reverend, what is your damage threshold?
7.
Okay. Damage.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
And exploding dice. Yes.
Yes, it absolutely does.
I rerolled a 6, or like additional, right?
Yes.
Okay. 14 total.
You watch the Reverend stumble backwards a couple of steps. You hear the AK go off, and Nancy, you feel a bullet rip through your arm. But it is not enough to cause any dire wounds to you yet. There is still the risk of bleeding out if something doesn't happen soon, but you do feel the bullet rip through your arm. And in that split second, all of that happened at once. Reverend, I'm going to have you make a composure roll for me.
Okay. Composure... I actually failed that at a 65 out of 40.
Okay.
It's 2 fail levels.
So that light from the scanner was just like shoved into your eyes after that fire. You're going backwards. You're not sure if it's the wound or the light, but you're sitting there blinking and your vision is kind of blurred for a moment.
Gotcha.
In a world that's falling apart, when society is falling around you, some people put their faith in God. Some people put their faith in the United States Postal Service.
After all of this very quick gunfire, like back to back, the pistol goes off, the AK goes off, the teens that Joy has kind of like pulled down, immediately like fight or flight kicks in, and they are immediately crawling towards the stairs to get the fuck out of this room. They're staying low, and you see them going. One of them does like grab onto your arm, Joy, to try pull you along. Do you follow or do you stay?
Yeah, I'll follow because I want to make sure that they're not just scattering to the wind. If we can at least all stay together, that would be ideal.
Sure. Yeah, and yeah, I'll say with them pulling you along, you can make that distance with them as they are beginning to crawl down. As you hear whatever is happening continuing in this room. Parker, you're up.
So, yeah. So Parker was like bringing up the rear in case anything broke through and started coming at us up the stairs. So I think when the teens start like drop to the ground and start crawling back, Parker is gonna kind of do the same thing and stay low and say, yeah, never mind. Back downstairs.
Okay, so you're kind of taking the lead of bringing them back down the stairs.
Yes.
Perfect. Trying to, I'll say with that, you can get down the stairs too and like get them back on their feet. And you just hear the sound of the fists against the wood as the gunshots now, even though some a little more muffled than you were expecting, are still drawing the attention of the creatures outside.
The pounding is at the door, right?
The door and the windows.
All right. I think in an effort to be proactive, if we can, Parker is going to start directing the teens and Joy to try to at least like lock that hallway that leads to the door with the peas. Just kind of start piling things in front of it. It may not even do anything, but at the very least, they're not like standing around, okay, starting to panic.
Yeah, so just starting to push stuff towards the doors themselves. Perfect. Yeah, you can easily do that. You take charge on that, and everybody starts running and starts just pushing. Perfect. Doug.
Yeah, so I think the paper-pushing, spreadsheet-making bureaucrat hits total analysis paralysis. He's watching all the adults in front of him charge after this guy, all the teenagers running down the stairs. He's looking at their desk to dive behind, and he is just stuck and frozen, looking at all of his possibilities, unable to calculate which one he should do.
I'm going to have you make a composure roll, Doug.
That is a 75, which is 2 degrees of failure.
Okay. Then in that case, you see a desk that you could dive behind, but you can't move. And you are just standing here in the open, basically. Just like you said, just frozen. Go ahead and mark one morale loss.
Darren is like still so shaken, but like it just like it was all reaction and all just in the moment snap decision to pull the trigger. And it didn't work, and then chaos exploded around him. And I don't think he has had a single moment to think. I think he feels Nancy and Marty rush up kind of past him and start to try and tackle and disarm, do anything to the Reverend. And I think Darren, without thinking at all, just follows them. Like there's humanity pushing forward, and Darren just goes with them, makes no conscious decision to do so. And I don't think he even has the presence of mind, because he has a screwdriver still that's like sharpened and stuff. I don't think he has the presence of mind to pull that out. I think he's just swept up and is just trying to get on top of the Reverend. So I think he's going to move up and just try to, not, like, tackle is probably a little overselling Darren's capabilities, but pile on, push up against him anything he can in kind of these few moments to buy a little bit more time and to stop him from doing anything else.
In that case, I'm going to have both Darren and the Reverend make a brawl roll.
At a 43, I rolled a 70.
I also had a pretty robust failure.
Okay. Okay, so how this works is Darren rushes forward. The Reverend sees and kind of, like, lifts the gun to go to, like, basically slam the gun into Darren. And as this happens, Darren, like, makes contact. There's contact there. It's just not quite strong enough to actually push the Reverend over. You're scooted back a little bit, only from, you know, the wound already in your rib cage. Scooted back. You don't quite get the slam. You more hit with, like, your forearm, and then you're able to just push him away. So nobody was hurt, but nothing was really gained from that either. All right, now the fun thing is, going into the next round, we all roll again.
I like really to bad. Think that Yasmin is holding off because there's like three people on top of the Reverend right now, and she's like, I don't want to shoot anyone that isn't him.
Yeah, that makes sense. We have Joy with the one. I will say, you're still hearing whatever is happening upstairs. Nobody's being quiet. You hear the sounds of, you know, attempted tackles. There are gunshots happening. But the four of you plus Parker are just pushing all of these pews, as all these benches, up against the door. You get them all pushed up. You're seeing the door, like, the lock seems strong, but as more and more of these frenzied seem to be piling up against it, you're not sure how long it's gonna hold. And you hear some of the wood beginning to splinter on some of the windows as these infected are just trying to rip the wood away. What would you like to do?
I feel like Joy is, like, nervously shaking a can, one of their spray cans, and if you can't go up and you can't go stay here, where do you go?
Is there, Carrie, are there speech actions in this? Like, can you just sort of free speech?
Yeah, if you have something you want to say, go for it.
I think Parker might say, and Joy can choose to listen to this or not, but as we, like, are finishing getting things piled and the windows are starting to break and the doors are starting to break, he's just going to yell out to the teens, including Joy, climb.
Climb where? Up the rafters?
I don't think I have time to be more specific. Well, I mean, is Joy asking that question?
Yeah, that's oh, okay. Me asking. Joy asking that question.
Perfect. Yeah. Then, Parker's just going to say, whatever you can find, yeah, get up as high as you can. We've never seen them climb.
Okay, yeah. I guess Joy then is going to try to help the teens and her get up into, like, the rafters, or if there's any, like, place we can climb up to.
I'm going to make a roll for the other teams real quick. Yeah, they're rushing over, and you, like, turn and make eye contact with the one that was more described as, like, the football player, basically. He looks the strongest of all of them. You make eye contact for a brief moment, and then both of you immediately, like, lean down to begin, like, boosting up the other two as you're trying to help them up. You see them just beginning to climb up, and then the two of you turn and climb almost in unison as you are trying to get higher ground here. Mm-hmm.
I'll look back at Parker and tell Parker, come on, start climbing. You gotta come with us.
All right.
Parker does not respond.
Doug, what were you trying to do?
So, Doug is just thought about everything and everyone in this world that has let him down. Northrop Grumman laid him off 2 days ago. His wife divorced him a month ago. This fucking world kept him from getting to see his daughter on his two lousy days of visitation in his whole goddamn time. And now the highest power in the world, represented by this freaking priest, is just letting him down now. And he just snaps. And it's not submission snap. It is pure out anger snap. Everybody is just not acting the way they're supposed to. And I'm going to charge him. And if there's something like a paperweight or something on the desk nearby he can grab on the way, then he's just going to beat the shit out of a priest.
God, I am just fucking delighted at how everyone on this call was like, fuck yeah, it's Doug's time. Fuck yeah, go Doug.
I hope there's a Howard red stapler Doug. He can grab.
Yeah, exactly. Gotta be the We're stapler. All fucking rooting for Doug.
Parker, what is your intention?
If the teens and Joy seem like they're making good progress with climbing up to the rafters, Parker's going to try to double back to the stairs. And I think what he is going to try to do is close the door behind him at the base of the stairs and try to wedge it closed. Like, I think the only thing he has in his hands is his guitar. If he can, I think he's going to try to at least, like, buy some time by shutting that door and, like, trying to wedge it closed.
Okay. So the thought process here is closing that door to keep any infected that burst in from getting up the stairs to what's happening up there?
Yeah, okay. Realistically, just maybe buying some time. But, like, first priority was make sure the teens are safe. Second priority, try to help. Because that's the only way, like, we're getting out of this.
Okay. Reverend, what is your intent?
Well, the Reverend, this is a, you know, for two floors, that usually means it's a pretty decent sized church. And the Reverend knows that there are multiple ways to get both up and down on these floors. So he is going to, seeing that too many people are coming at him, he's going to move backwards, heading towards the closest staircase that leads down, back down to the first level, and probably aiming the AK-47 at anyone who approaches him, firing and screaming Bible verses the whole time. Something like, everything that can stand the fire, you shall pass through the fire, and it shall be clean. And he's just mowing them down.
And Nancy, what is your intent?
So first off, you don't fuck with Nancy's kids. And regardless of what ages you all are, you're all Nancy's kids. So Nancy wants to take that crucifix out of her pocket and slam it into this motherfucker's throat.
Great. So it sounds like right now, first I'm going to have Parker, is there any certain skill you would like to use to try to block this door, or is it quite literally just luck?
That is a very good question. I was looking through and trying to see if any of them made sense, and like the only ones I could really think of were like maybe lift pull, but that doesn't really make sense because I'm leaving an object behind. So I'm not sure, honestly.
I think maybe there would be like a chair or something over here too that you can use with the guitar and try to do some, like, wedge some things in. I'll allow a lift pull.
Okay, perfect. So then I grab something on the way. As I do, right before he runs, he's gonna look up at Joy and he's gonna say, whatever happens to the rest of us, stay up there until it's over. Then climb to the bridge, get to the other building, get as far away from here as you can.
But you guys are gonna make it, right?
Parker takes a second, and that sort of trademark dopey, empty expression, smile falls back into place, and he says, yeah, for sure. And then he's going to grab a chair and bolt for the staircase and try to wedge it shut. That is a 6. 6 under...
006?
Yeah, 006, under 28.
Okay. Yeah, you grab that chair and you just begin slamming it up into this door to try to wedge it closed. Now, first I'm going to have the Reverend make a firearms roll because you are being approached by two people.
He gets to go first, of course.
That is a failure with a 74.
Okay. That being said, I'll need Doug and Nancy to both make their attack rolls.
God, if it's fucking Doug and Nancy who deliver us, I will be just like, what an unbelievable thing that will be.
Wait, so first time doing this, that would be the M attack BL bludgeoning?
Yes, yes, because you do in fact find a red stapler on the desk that you're able to grab as you are running by.
I have wished for no outcome as hard as I am wishing for this outcome right now. The two of you and these roles.
And what skill am I using? Because I've got the crucifix out, so I don't know if that's still going to be brawl since it's stabby.
It'll be melee piercing. They should probably be the same skill.
Okay, that makes sense.
They're a religion skill.
Is there a poetic irony skill?
I got a 35 over a 34.
I got a 14 under a 29.
Okay. Nancy, roll 1d6. And if you roll that 6, roll it again. It explodes. That's a 5. So you both rush up to the Reverend as he is backing up toward a staircase, opens fire. You're not sure if it hit you and you just didn't feel it or what happened. The adrenaline is just pumping too hard and you sprint forward. Doug, you grab onto the stapler, you run up and you swing, but as you're swinging, the Reverend brings up the gun itself and the stapler hits the side of that gun instead. Nancy, you run up and right as the Reverend has moved over to block that stapler, you have a pretty good line to the neck, and as you go to stab, he sees it, puts up his arm further. The sharpened edge does pierce into the neck, but not as far as you want it to. It is not enough to cause another wound because he blocks it just in the nick of time and just kind of shoves it away. I would like for Doug, Nancy, and the Reverend to go ahead and make a... I'm going to let you choose. You can make a balance roll or you can make a strength roll.
I fail with a 70. 72.
Okay.
I pass with a 22. That's 2 degrees of success.
Nice.
It's a 75, which is about 4 levels of failure.
Neither the Reverend or Doug are going to take any damage from this. But from this impact and from this quick motion, you both fall down the stairs. You're tumbling down the stairs that are leading down. So, Reverend, you're kind of getting what you want, but just not in the way that you wanted it.
Yeah, real fucking fail forward kind of situation.
Both of you beginning to just tumble down these stairs. It's loud. All of you know what happened, even if you're not in, like, line of sight. Okay.
Nancy definitely shouts, "Christ, let me at him!"
Okay, that brings us to Marty.
So, I've seen both my friend Doug and the Reverend fall out of sight, basically. They've fallen down the stairs, I can't see
them. Yes.
Alright, so Marty is going to run down the stairs to get to them. And if possible, I'd like to hoist the Reverend and get him in like an arm bar, or you know, get his arms up so that he can't maneuver himself.
So Marty immediately sprints towards this very staircase. You see Nancy barely holding on to like the door frame of the staircase from falling through as well, and you just push past, sprint down the stairs. I am going to have you. You're specifically wanting to like put the Reverend in like a grapple, correct?
Right. I basically want to get him maneuvered so that he can't like bring the gun. If he still has, does he have the gun? I guess that's another question I'd like to ask. Has he?
I think Twitter decided he has the gun.
Twitter. I probably voted Twitter for that. All right. Well, then maybe I'd want to like step on his hand that has the gun while I'm hoisting him up so that I can maybe disarm him and get him sort of contained at the same time.
Okay, I think I'll probably have you roll a grapple roll for this.
Okay, yeah, that was a long way of saying I'll grapple him. I apologize.
No, you're fine. Right, and let's... Reverend, how are you wanting to avoid this? Is this like a dodge, or are you going full, like, pushing back and doing, like, a brawl sort of thing, or how is...
Yeah, I feel like if I do lose the gun, it's pretty bad, so I think brawl would be the better choice, just to get him off me.
Okay, yeah, go for it.
Is grapple a skill, or am I also using brawl?
It is a skill.
Oh, wait, yep, I see it there. Okay.
I think... Oh, no, they're not.
That's a 0.05.
Damn.
Under 43.
Yeah, I failed with the 61.
Man, as terrible as the Reverend is, I really appreciate you lying about all your dice rolls. I'd rather not to jinx it.
That's very kind of you.
Everyone knock on wood for the dumb shit I just said, but...
Okay, so I will say, with that high of a success, and with that fail, Marty, you have a choice. You can either take possession of the gun, or you can hold the Reverend down.
Hold him down. I'm gonna disarm him. I'll take the gun.
Okay. Yeah, so you kind of like slam your foot down on his wrist, yeah, right as he is going to kind of pick this gun back up, slam the foot down, grab onto the gun, and pull it up out of his hands. Excellent fucking turn. And I believe that leaves us with Yasmin, right?
I think I'm first. Yeah, Yasmin rolled a 6. So...
Oh, you... I was scrolled down too far. Yeah, you are next, yes. My bad.
So, Darren... The fight is out of sight. He doesn't have any weapons. Like... Or he has one, like, squirreled away. But, like... Darren kind of like snaps back just a little bit. Like his Darren brain breaks through the lizard fight or flight kind of thing. And Darren, being a goals driven individual, remembers that like we're up here to stop the bell. The bell has stopped. And also we are up here to stay alive and not so much chase the Reverend. And like, he like just snaps out of his like weird bloodlusty kind of thing, or like whatever was going on, and he could I do a quick just like spot check to see if like keys are here, like anything that is like immediate, like Darren would just know to grab and then like and then react accordingly.
Yes, go ahead and make a spot listen or a search. I'll let you pick, and I am actually going to give you 2d6 of advantage for that as well.
That's a -5 under 50.
Excellent.
That helps.
Your eyes immediately begin darting around, and this is going to be a moment that everyone is going to hate so much, because I'm going to message you what you see.
The Reverend, perhaps a collector of antique landmines?
Rocket launchers. Too antique, though, just to be clear.
Grenades. Yeah.
Appropriately antique. Some would call it slightly out of fashion, maybe, as opposed to it was last right. season's landmines.
It's still got the little, it's like a ball, you know, a little sea mine, got the things that pump
it's
in.
It's a holy hand grenade.
Right. It's more passe than anything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
While Darren is receiving this information, I'm going to say that is going to take your turn. So while that is being received, Yasmin, what would you like to do?
First, I want to know what the hell's going on Darren's face. But it's fine. It's fine. I'm not worried.
There's a lot. There's a lot.
I am going to step forward, push Nancy, not like shove, but like move Nancy out of the
way. Get out of my way.
Start to go down the stairs. And so the AK was taken away. She will level the pistol at the Reverend. And just say, we don't have to be fighting each other. Please, please stop. And I forget, can I ready actions in this? Basically, to shoot him if he fights back. Yeah, that.
Just shoot him, you know? I think you'd probably just shoot him now.
So
she's a doctor, Darren.
With military training. Let's not, you know.
You know, listen.
Now I think I will ask, since that is the last turn of this round of initiative. Reverend, what is your response to Yasmin? The AK has been taken from you. You're hearing, we don't have to fight. What is the Reverend's response?
But Andrew at the bottom of the stairs, like... the first floor where all the fucking flock is on the other side of whatever door is also right there.
But it means I have a clear shot.
He just looks at the doctor and says, I don't take orders from a heretic bitch, and I spit at her.
You feel a bullet slam into the back of your thigh. You feel just a warm gush of blood as you are crawling down, but you do make it to the bottom of these stairs and can make it to basically the main church area. That being said, everyone roll another d6. Nancy, you are at the top of this staircase. What would you like to do?
Can Darren do the talking thing that Parker did earlier?
I think Nancy would be probably the only one in the room to really hear it. Yasmin might be able to hear it. Depends on how hard the focus is, like, downstairs, I suppose. No?
Yeah, she's eyes on the Reverend after that.
Right.
Darren is, like, you can see Darren is, like, I don't know, looking at a letter on a desk or, you know, something. And Darren, you see him just staring. And as you're kind of, like, moving into whatever action you're going, he, like, looks at you and says, There's a way out. We need to go to the roof. The military's out there. Not now. We need to get to the roof. We can't be in here anymore.
You're right. We do need to get out of here. We need to get to the roof. But Mom has got some business she needs to take care of first. Because presumably I heard what the Reverend just called the doc.
Oh yeah. Oh, you did. Yeah.
Yeah. So I will purposefully march down the stairs. I know I'm not going to, like, kill him in one shot unless I, like, I don't know, explode a bunch of times. But Nancy doesn't know that. So Nancy's going to go down the steps. Marty, the Reverend's just there. He's not being held. I'm going to approach him. I'm going to put my finger to his lip and say, shh. Babe, thou shalt not speak. And I'm going to stab him with it.
All right, go ahead and make those opposed rolls.
Darren is sending Nancy all of his entitled white person energy in like a spirit bomb to make sure this goes well.
I do succeed with a 43 on my brawl.
And I'm also doing,
Fuck.
No, 57. Failed by 2.
Okay, so Reverend, what does that look like as she, you know, basically, like, I'm assuming, like, because the Reverend's on the ground.
Yes.
So I'm assuming, Nancy, you kind of, like, got on top of him, in a sense, to stab down. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what does that look like?
Heresy is a sin, Nancy, and I'm just gonna either punch her or redirect the weapon.
Yeah, I think with that stab, you absolutely bring up your, like, bring up your hands, grab onto the wrist, and push it over just enough to where the sharp end stabs into the floor right underneath you. We were rooting for you, Nancy. Perfect. Looks like Yasmin and Marty are next.
That's fitting. Yasmin would step forward and kind of, not removing the pistol, hold out a hand for the AK.
All yours.
Okay, great. I hand you the pistol, and same thing as before. Stand down, and I will shoot him if he talks shit again.
Marty, anything specific for you?
I have the pistol as well. I'm going to get down and I'm just going to try and clock him in the temple and see if that will knock him out or something.
Okay. Yeah, I'll say he has just, like, shoved Nancy off of him, and you see him almost, like, moving to get up, and then he just sees you running at him. So you're trying for more of, like, a melee approach with this?
Oh, yeah. I'm not great with guns. Marty has never fired a weapon in his life, and he doesn't want to hurt people who aren't in extreme deserving of getting hurt. So, yeah, it's gonna be a pistol to the... to the temple.
Seems pretty extreme. Perfect. To me.
So that is a 12 under 43.
Yeah, Reverend, you are able to attempt to combat that if you'd like.
Sure, why not? Ooh, 25, that's a nice success. Two over.
I also got two over. How does that work?
Yeah, so I'm going to say that this time... both of you roll 2d6.
I got
and
an
sixes,
8.
Sixes explode.
Okay, that was my question.
Oh.
So I've rolled 2 sixes now.
Nice.
And 3 sixes.
USPS, motherfucker.
So that's, I got 3 sixes, a 1, and a 4. So that's 18, 22, 23.
23.
Neither rain nor snow nor pieces of shit reference
nor racist motherfuckers are going to stop the USPS. All right.
I just want to point out that if you kill the Reverend with 3 sixes, that would be absolutely
Gary, can we just look? I know.
Little known fact, Satan, huge supporter of the United States Postal Service.
Unironically, too. It's just like, you know, humans suck. I like punishing them. USPS, though, they got that right.
Reverend, did you roll damage 2d6?
Yes, I rolled an 8.
An 8. And what is Marty's damage threshold?
7.
Okay. So you are going to take 1 wound from this, as... we're going to say, just for cinematic purposes here, Nancy, when you went to stab, he pushed out of the way, and then when he pushed you off, wrenched the cross from your hand. And as Marty rushes over and goes to just slam the butt of this pistol into the Reverend's head, the Reverend just pushes up, slams the sharpened cross right into your side. You feel it pierce and stick. It sticks in, like he's not able to pull it back out as the butt of the pistol slams into his skull. All of you hear a sickening crack.
So I'd like to think that, you know, I kind of start moving up to push the cross onto Marty, and it works, and like kind of the energy of it, I rise up, but then he slams me in the head. And I kind of, like, stumble backwards. And when I turn back, like, half of my head is, like, caved in. And there is, like, a lot of blood just continually pouring out of me. And the Reverend just is kind of stumbling in place back and forth. And he just seems to kind of be mumbling, and you hear, "Behold, scoffers, and marvel, and perish, for I am accomplishing a work in your days, a work which you will never believe." And I stumble back to where there is a button on the wall, where there is a pair of mechanical double doors, and my back just hits it, and I just slide down. Stop moving.
The front doors of the church open. You hear them kind of like hitting up against bodies as you begin hearing these frenzied beginning to push through. And thankfully, there are benches pressed up against these doors, and they're not able to just spill in like the river that you've seen them out on the streets. They are having to like climb up over them, but you do see them like reaching up, climbing over these benches and climbing over each other as they are trying to just spill over and get to you as quickly as possible. I'm going to ask each of you, in this very moment, what would you like to do? We can start with Doug.
So Doug fell down the stairs with the Reverend, and then all of that just happened. Doug is going to stand up, still a little fevered, and he's going to take the stapler and just throw it at the Reverend's dead body. He said, "All you had to do was your damn job." And then he's going to take a deep breath, straighten up his shirt and his collar, and try to go back to the normal, composed bureaucrat.
Darren is doing the opposite, where he is losing his mind, trying to, now that he's seen a path forward, and is like, and has regained sight of our job is not to kill the Reverend. Obviously, it is good that that is taken care of, but it is to stay alive. He is just, like, he starts screaming his head off as loud as, and as panicked and as desperate as he can. "For everyone, get up here. We have to go to the roof. The military is coming." And that's what he says. And is just, like, trying, like, those are the, he is doing every combination of those bits of information that he can, but those are the salient points of, like, get everyone up here now, and, like, we have to leave, we have to get out of here, and the roof is where we have to go.
Yeah, so over everything that's about to happen, you just hear Darren shouting, "Get to the roof, get up here, we have to go," over and over in varying forms of a sentence. What would Marty like to do?
Panic.
Great.
seeing Doug sort of like straightening himself and getting himself ready, I basically just grab him by the scruff of the neck and try and throw him back through the door, having heard Darren say, "We got to get to the roof," and then I'm gonna shout to Nancy and the doctor to book it. I'll stay here and close the door behind us, and then. Do I see the teens just like huddled up in the rafters?
You see them like reaching one of these more upper levels, and I'd say Joy is probably like being the last one up, having kind of talked to Parker previously, pulled up, and there is like a small window up here as well, and so if you're hearing,
yeah, I'm gonna say, use that window and get to the roof. We got to get out of here, and then I will close the door once everyone has gone past me.
Okay. What is Nancy's goal?
Nancy is gonna head to the roof, but before she does that, she's gonna check in with the doctor just very briefly and make sure that she's okay. And I suppose, like, what is the doctor's response when Nancy comes up and just kind of like pats her a little bit, if that seems okay. It says, are you all right?
So, when you all first met Yasmin, she was probably a little stressed, but she'd relaxed a bit. She was kind of in doctor mode, checking in, making sure people weren't injured, whatever. At this moment, you look at her, you go to ask her if she's okay, and she is reverted to a mode that she hasn't been in for probably 30 years, but she is rigid, her eyes are on the door. She does not move when Marty tells her to move because she is aiming the gun at the door, and she says, it will be fine, go upstairs, get to the roof, we will be behind soon. Go.
Nancy looks to where the others are going to the roof and looks at the doctor and says, I'm not going anywhere. I'm here till the end. If something happens to one of you, I can get you to the roof. We're in it together, doctor. And if it's any consolation, he is dead. And we're not. And anyway, it should be Mrs. Stupid Woman and Dr. Bitch to him now. It'll be okay.
Please, and we will keep us all alive. And I'll take a look at the kids, and basically she's not leaving until the kids are, like, safely out.
Parker. What are you doing?
Not knowing if the teens heard Darren yelling, Parker is going to try to yell through the barricaded door at the base of the other staircase, repeating the message, basically, hoping that they hear him through the door, and then is going to run up the stairs and look for the others, try to find Darren, who was probably the first person he heard, and then basically fall in line to get to the roof.
Okay, so from what I'm understanding with that staircase, that is the door that Yasmin is guarding from the inside. So you're, like, on the stairs watching that door, and that door is closed? Or are you all already up?
I thought there were two staircases, because the Reverend said he knew another way down.
Yes, so we have the staircase that's blocked right now, and then the staircase that the Reverend fell down, which is the one that you all followed him down and would be heading back up.
Does that one open to the main room where the kids were, though?
Yes.
Then I would open it and have eyes on the kids and shout that to them.
Okay. Perfect. I just wanted to clarify. Yeah. Okay, so we have some people running up the stairs, some people waiting to make sure that the teens are getting through. Joy. You and these other three teenagers are up here. You've climbed up. You probably have, like, blisters forming on your hands from climbing on things that you really aren't meant to be climbed on. And you make it up here. You hear the shouting, and your heads all turn to the window. What would you like to do?
I think Joy is gonna keep helping everybody as a group to keep pushing towards that window, like, and getting up towards the roof, trying to balance on this rafters and head that way.
Okay. I think easy enough. Teenagers are fucking resilient, so you can kind of push through here, get to the window itself, and begin opening that up. There's, like, this crank that kind of just pushes it open just barely, but you're realizing that it's not going to open all the way, and it probably needs taken off in order for all of you to fit out of the window. Do you have anything you would like to attempt for that?
Yeah, I guess would it be like, would I be able to kick it open? Like, try to, like, with my feet, try to, like, get it open as far as possible?
Yeah, I think that could work. Did you want to do, like, a brawl for that, or like a strength?
I can try a brawl. That's okay. The highest of. That's a fail with an 86.
All right, so yeah, slamming into this, it cracks some of the glass, but the hinges themselves are just, it's old, but in a sense of like, made, how do I want to phrase this? It is old, but
sturdy.
Yes, thank you. Very sturdy, not anything that would have been placed in any modern structures, because everybody likes to be as cheap as possible now. But that kick just isn't gonna do it, and you see the other three teenagers like lunging forward to try to help you. They're trying to like pull and push at this window, so you're still trying for that window. And at this point, the infected are spilling over the benches and are in the main room of this church. And they look up, and the first person they probably see is Yasmin. Okay. They look up, they see you holding the gun. What would you like to do?
I would like to shoot them, please.
Great. expand on that a little bit. Are you... Basically, are you standing here and firing as much as you can? Are you firing and moving?
So I'm basically imagining standing like right in the doorway, so that once they get close enough, Nancy's right there. She can slam the door shut, or I can like move out of the way. She can slam the door shut, whatever way it opens. But basically shooting to kill, obviously headshots, as many as possible, but the goal is to keep them focused on me so that Parker and the other teenagers can get the fuck out.
Okay. Go ahead and make 3 firearms rolls for me and tell me what you get.
Okay, first one is 36. Next one is 24. Next one is 67. That one is a fail, but only by 7. Points. The other two were wild successes. So 58. So 4 degrees of success and 3 degrees of success. And then 0 degrees of failure for the third one.
Fantastic. You all hear the sounds of opening fire again, but it's not this... It's not these short bursts. Continual open fire. You hear the gunshots echoing with... A church has pretty damn good acoustics in general. This is unlike anything that you've ever heard. It is loud, it is echoing everywhere, and you can hear it just continues. Nancy, you see the light kind of coming from the gun itself, lighting up the stairway that you're standing in, just repeatedly, like strobing, almost. And Nancy, you watch as these infected are spilling forward, and this fucking doctor that came in here with an AK-47 is just mowing them down. You see a sense of combat training that you maybe expected, maybe you didn't expect. You can see she knows how to properly handle this gun, and it is evident in the way that she is just mowing down these frenzied. You see the bullets slamming into heads. Those that are getting too close, you see the gun sweep down and sweep their legs so that they fall and make other ones fall over them, firing at the heads again, coming back around, coming up. Firing until it's too overwhelming. There's too many coming through this doorway, and you see Dr. Yasmin just take a step back, raise up the gun, and you slam that door shut. And within a matter of seconds, the frenzied are slamming up against this door. The two of you look at each other and know you have to go. And you begin heading up. Basically right behind Marty, as Marty is heading up as well. Parker has made it up. Doug, you're in the room. Darren, you see everybody coming up, and you immediately, you're still just repeating over and over, we have to get to the roof, we have to get to the roof. And you do so. You climb out. You climb up onto the roof of this church. there's many angles that this roof sits at, and it is raining. It is slippery. You find yourself sliding, and your foot thankfully like slams into a gutter so that you're not thrown off. It's dark. Night has fully fallen, and the rain is pouring down. You can hear it slamming into the rooftop of the church. You finally hear the sound of hinges squeaking as the teenagers are able to basically pop this window out. You hear the window clatter down and fall, and the teens immediately begin climbing out onto the rooftop. And there's a moment, Darren, where your heart sinks, because you thought the path would be so obvious. You're looking around, everything is dark, it's raining. You knew you had to get to the roof, but now what? And you're looking around, everyone's looking around, trying to figure out where to go. And Joy, as you're climbing out, you look over and you see, not on this rooftop, but you see the rooftop of the building beside you. There seems to be metal beams going over to the next building. And you're able to kind of glance around enough so to where Darren, you see this, and you look over, and there's a connection made. The papers you had seen were more of the Reverend's notes of the conversation he had with the military. The papers you had seen said airdrops to rooftops. It didn't say this rooftop. And as you stand on this slippery slope of a rooftop, you can see the makeshift bridge out of the benches of the church that leads over to that next building. You hear the frenzied spilling into the church itself. What would all of you like to do?
I think Joy would wave to get everybody's attention and to get everybody to look at this bridge, to try to see if this is like the next play, like this is where we're heading.
So to be clear, does the bridge that we've constructed leads to a building that on that roof there is the metal bridge? Is that's the layout?
Correct.
Okay, well, I think we make it for that bridge. Okay. Hopefully there aren't any zombies in that building. So.
No, there are, but alas.
Oh, thanks. All right, well, I would say cautiously, but swiftly,
yeah,
or as swift as possible, we gotta go.
Okay. If that is the play, if everyone is heading towards that bridge, there is a bit of a drop, and it is a little bit slippery. So I'm gonna need everyone to make either a balance roll, or we could do a, there's no like just general athletics, so I'll go strength.
There's
a balance
jump.
Or a strength. There is jump. If you wanna do jump, you can do jump. I will say that could have a little more dire consequences, but if that stat is much higher for you, go for it.
I will also note that I think at this, once we get to the roof, Yasmin reloads. Just in case that's important later.
Yep. Darren takes out his screwdriver if possible.
I just need like a little animated segment of Yasmin coming out in the pouring rain on the rooftop of the church, reloading the AK. Like, oh man, I need that so bad.
And then a cut to Darren reloading his screwdriver. Whatever that means.
Taking it out, putting in his teeth.
Right, yes.
Classic Darren move.
He's seen pirate movies.
Yeah. I rolled an 18 under 50-something. 50-something.
I got a 39 under 43.
I got a 23 out of 48.
So about Yasmin. Oh, sorry, go Nancy.
Oh, I got a 37 under 44.
7 under 23 for Parker.
Nice. So that was an 82. Under... What was that?
Either strength or balance?
Or jumps. Yeah. Yeah, so that was an 82 over 47.
That's rough, buddy.
Yasmin okay. doesn't like heights. It's canon now. He just doesn't like heights.
Okay, so... How many levels of failure is that?
82 over 47, so... Three?
I had three levels of success, if that helps.
Does Darren catch me?
You know what?
He would know that she sucks at heights, too. Just throwing.
You know what? Yes. Okay, so here is what happened. I think... Would anyone have volunteered to go first? Like, would anyone have been super adamant? Okay, perfect. Everyone is moving over towards the edge of this, trying not to slip down over as the rain is still just pouring down. You're all drenched. And Yasmin jumps first. It's just kind of like a just direct fall down, but as she lands on the pews, I'd mentioned that it was at a bit of an angle. So there is this instant slip as you land, and you slam down, and you actually begin sliding like off towards the side to the point where you drop your AK. For those three levels of success, the AK is beginning to slide down. Since that is such an important and vital piece of living, I am going to allow you to roll, I think roll a speed die opposing me.
Okay. Don't fuck me, die. Oh god, where did it go? That's a 3?
I got a 6. So,
thank god.
You are able to reach over and grab onto the strap of the AK as it is falling over, but that movement pushes you just barely over the edge, and you're beginning to like slide and dangle off of the side of this bridge. And at that point, there's a moment where you're sure you're gonna fall. There's nothing to grip onto. It's too slippery. You're gonna fall. And then you hear Darren slam down, slip, land, but then land in a way where his arms just come down and grab onto your arms. And he's able to begin pulling you back up. And the two of you sitting here act as sort of a buffer as Nancy jumps down, slips, slams into you, and then Parker jumps down, slips, slams into Nancy. Joy, the teens, they all jump down, kind of like slipping. But there's enough people here now at this point where it's almost like you're catching each other. Marty, just before you are about to jump, Doug, you had something you wanted to say.
Marty, you're probably seeing Doug as calm as he's been the whole time. I've left my package. Hey, look, man, the world's gone to shit for me 3 weeks ago. 2 days ago was nothing. Living in a crappy apartment, taking public transportation, Joanna got the house, the car, lost my job, and the only thing I got left is 2 days a month with Frankie and a week in the summer, man. It's the only thing that's still mine. I got nothing else to live for, so I gotta go get Frank. I gotta get a package first. I'll see you. Take care of these people. You're doing a hell of a job, man.
As Doug does that, or says that, Marty, remembering that he has been shanked pretty heavily in the side and still has a cross sticking out of him, grabs Doug by the tie, pulls him in close, and says, "Doug, I'm with the United States Postal Service. If you want that package, I will deliver it for you. And then I'm going to say, you don't think you have anything to live for? There are people down there who care about you, man. They love you. And although the world has gone to shit, we're a little family right now. That's a trope, I get it, but it's true. So you get down there, and I will go get your package.
You're right. The package, it's just a memory, it's a reminder, it doesn't matter. There is only one person down there that still loves me, and I'm not leaving. And he'll yank his tie away, and then start slipping along the roof back to the opening we came out of, leaving Marty in the room.
Marty is overwhelmed and overcome, and honestly a little stunned. Is there some sort of roll I can make to see if I would be willing, if I'm going to track him back down and drag him, or if I'm going to go?
Make a composure roll for me.
Okay, so that is kind of, how does that work? Sorry.
It is in the basic skills on the left.
Yep, there it is. Okay.
Do you have a coping mechanism?
I have my scanner.
Okay. So if you are sitting there and kind of fidgeting with that scanner right now, you get a bonus 20%.
Okay, well that means I succeed then. Okay. Because I got a 46, which I'm rolling under 53.
Okay.
So Marty...
I will note real quick, with that success, I will give you this knowledge. Mm-hmm. Doug is heading back into the church, which is becoming filled with frenzied as seconds pass. You're pretty good at reading people. You're not going to be able to convince him to come with you. So you can decide, with this successful composure role, do you go with him? Or do you let him go and jump down?
So Marty beeps his scanner, and even in the rain, you know, the illumination is casting up on his face, and both he and the scanner are crying because of the rain. And he looks at the last thing that's on the scanner, which is a parcel that he was supposed to deliver, and it does not have a delivered status. And he looks at Doug's retreating back, and he knows that Doug wants to be with his family. He wants to be with the people that he loved. And so Marty's gonna let him deliver himself, and he clicks the delivered function on the scanner, lifts his cap, and says Godspeed, and drops down to continue with the survivors.
All right, there's a pause, and all of you are looking up, and then you see finally, Marty dropped down as well.
Like, I'm imagining some, like, probably some people have already started crossing, you know, just to make room, like, sending the teens and maybe Yasmin over, like, with guns to, like, start, because, I mean, she and I know that there's zombies where we're going, and, like, there's just however many people are left are just, like, looking up, waiting for the next two people to come. And it's a long pause. And then Marty drops. And we're all just waiting for the last one, unless Marty says anything.
Marty indicates that we should go.
Marty, baby, where's Doug?
He's been delivered. He's gone home.
I think that for all of everything that has happened since the outbreak started, I don't think Parker has had to, like, deal with this prior to this moment, like losing someone, especially somebody that he knew, leaving somebody behind especially. I think Parker's gonna have to make a composure roll.
Go for it. Yeah.
So my coping mechanism is my guitar, which I left behind to barricade that door, which means that I got a 48 above 39.
Go ahead and mark a loss of morale.
Oh,
and how do you think, with that, how do you think Parker reacts to this?
I think up until this point, while it's been a real, obviously all of this is real and has been happening, I think this is a point of clarity where Parker, it sinks in for Parker exactly what is at stake here, and that there is no safety net. There's no, we're safe inside the church, which has pretty much been our reality up to this point. So I think he's gonna unfortunately react by grabbing Marty. And I think he's gonna lash out, not physically, but I think he's gonna grab Marty and he's gonna say, "You just left him there?"
Marty, who did take several de-escalation courses at the United States Postal Service, is going to sort of hold Parker's shoulders and say, I know, man, but this is not the time to have this conversation. We got to get in that bridge. We got to get up to the roof, and then we can talk about it. Listen,
We have to go back for him, and he's going to look around at everybody else. Obviously, we have to go back for him.
Parker, we can't. He made his choice, and we have to respect the choice that he made. Right now, we have to go. We've made our choice to move on, and Doug made his choice, as painful as that is for all of us. I'm sorry, but we have to go. This whole situation has been about compartmentalizing. I just need you to compartmentalize for just a little bit more, and then we're gonna be able to deal with this, okay?
At this point, you're interrupted by a shriek that is familiar to Darren and Yasmin.
Fucking fuck.
It's something the rest of you have probably never heard. Darren, Yasmin, what are your immediate reactions to this?
So Darren would have been behind and helping people down, and obviously hearing Marty and Parker have this very important conversation, and Marty trying his best. Darren is also, again, very we gotta just keep moving. Compartmentalize is exactly the word, and Darren is just agreeing with Marty and just kind of nodding his head in the background, letting Marty drive the conversation with Parker and letting them have a little bit of a moment. And then he hears that shriek. And I don't know if Yasmin has already started moving or whatever, but if she's anywhere nearby, there would be eye contact, a meaningful look, and that would be when Darren, happy to be on the sidelines for Marty and Parker, would put a hand on both of you and be like, that noise is very bad. That means something is coming. We have to move. I am so sorry. We have to go. We have to go. And to the point where he's gonna try and start pushing. And that's not something Nathan the player or Darren the character is happy about. But he immediately is any composure he has left is immediately fear. And you guys could see oh, we went from a horrible place and position to somehow even worse. Please, God, move.
Yeah. I think Yasmin had gone ahead because she knew that there was at least one in that room already that was making its way down to the bridge. So she went ahead to check. The moment she hears that scream, gun goes up to wherever she heard it to make sure it's not above her or coming at the other group. She's just sweeping to see if she can see anything.
I think Parker is gonna quote unquote compartmentalize, but I think it's more accurate to say that Parker shuts down. His expression just kind of goes blank and he is basically just following at this point.
Nancy doesn't know what's going on, but she does see that the boys are kind of in conflict, and she'll very quickly go over to them and say, okay, you said we need to go. We'll get going. It'll be okay, boys. And I'll even, like, put my hand on the side of, like, Parker's face and look him in the eyes and say, it's gonna be okay, baby. We gotta keep moving. That's what Darren says we gotta do. So you stick with us, okay? It's gonna be okay, honey.
He nods slowly, but he kind of looks right through you. But he is gonna follow you.
And I will start moving, but I am gonna ask, what the hell are we running from?
Darren will bring up the rear because of how, like, it's interesting. I think Darren has an interesting view of these people, and Yasmin might too, but we are different. Our hells have been very different over the last couple days between the two groups. And this is the hell that we're equipped to deal with now. Or like emotion, like whatever, you know what I mean? But like that we have been steeped in the last couple of days. And Darren just is working on autopilot and is just like pushing people and is bringing up the rear, which is not very Darren. And is just like trying to shepherd people. And then when Nancy says that, he looks at you just straight in the eyes as he's trying to marshal everyone else. And maybe, you know, Marty and Parker are going off or whatever. And he says, it's not worth explaining right now, but what it is could kill us all if we don't move. And it knows. He struggles for a second to come up with a word. And he pauses, and he just repeats, it knows. And then tries to gesture you to move.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jesus fucking Christ. All right. Everybody, we're gonna like two-step this. We're gonna go real fast. So no hop skipping. We're just gonna run, okay?
Yeah, and I don't know what Parker's mobility situation is, but I will shoulder you or carry you if I have to, because we need to get moving.
I think at first he is not keeping up with the group, and then you try to like put your arm under him or something, and he's going to shake you off, kind of push you away from him a little bit, and then he's going to keep pace.
All right.
And what about Joy? What is Joy's initial reaction to all of this?
I think Joy was initially paying attention of getting to the other side, like following Yasmin and getting there, but then kind of seeing all of that kind of like trailed off. But now that everybody's moving, she's now just trying to get to the other side.
I would like all of you to just roll a D100. I'm just getting a group roll here.
You know, I really liked what you said at first, and now
Harry. Has anybody told you fuck you today?
Not today, but
I
get
seven.
One a session, usually.
I got a 10. Oh, oh actually, okay. Were we supposed to roll a d6 or a percentage?
Percentage.
Okay, then I got a 10.
Nice.
I hope you didn't roll a 10 on a d6.
Nice. So we have a...
I have a 45.
Okay.
I got a 52.
Okay.
59.
Okay. All of this being said, you all push through. You get into this building. Yasmin being pushing forward, but then covering with the gun. You're not. It's raining too hard. You're not able to see many of the buildings beside you, but you're listening. You're trying to listen. You're trying to hear any hint of crawling or climbing. Scraping, screeching, whatever it is, you're trying to listen. This probably leaves many of the teens spilling into the building first. And as you step in, Joy, there is like a hand that grabs onto your ankle from the infected that was in here. You see one of the other teenagers as climbs through, they just start stomping. You hear them stomp on the wrist, the whole wrist snaps. And then you see them stomp again at the head, and you hear a crunch. And then they just kind of look, And you get the feeling that that was probably the first infected that they've ever actually killed. Mm-hmm. And they're panting, and they just look at you, and then one of the other ones just grabs onto both of your arms and begins pulling you through, like, we just gotta fucking move. Mm-hmm. And you move through. Darren comes through. Marty comes through. Nancy, Parker, everybody comes through. Yasmin is the last one through with the gun still aimed at the window, just trained as you are backing up to follow the group to try to keep this creature from catching up to you. You push through. You know there are infected in here, but you push for the staircase. You climb up the stairs together. You can see the entrance to the third floor where you hear infected all over, but the door's closed. And you push through. You push further up to the door that leads to the rooftop of this building. It's locked. But it's so loud outside from the rain, and you don't even really think about it. You swing. Whatever melee weapon you have, swing. It clings a couple of times against the whole doorknob and latch itself until that is knocked loose. You slam the door open. All of you spill out onto the rooftop, again, covered in rain. You push through. It's so dark. It is just so dark. Why is it so fucking dark? You're trying to find the beam, the metal beam, the dark metal beam in the fucking dark, and you find yourselves just scrambling around, trying to see it. Finally, someone yells, "It's over here!" And all of you turn. You can see a box. Quite literally a military supply drop that has been dropped down. There's a note inside. It kind of opens like a chest. There's a note inside that says an address, which some of you may recognize as a couple blocks away. Some of you may have no idea. Your discretion. You see food. You see notes of, please only take what you need. Leave some for the rest. You see a lot of the food looks familiar. Looks like what you're fed from the priest. The metal beam, while slippery, has a bit of a like guard line across as well. Basically a little rope that you can hold on to as you are walking across it. You all do so. And then Parker. You hear the shriek coming from behind you. And as you turn around to glance, Yasmin, you're bringing up your weapon. You know that shriek. You know what's coming. But it's too fucking dark. The rain is too thick. Parker, you feel the metal beam vibrate as if something has stepped onto it with you. And as you turn around, you see what you can only describe as a creature. Humanoid, but large, angry. The face covered in blood. Muscular and vicious. You see it standing on the beam as if it doesn't even need to balance. It stands and then it crouches and grabs onto the beam itself and uses the beam to pull itself and launch towards you. You hear another loud shriek as this creature slams into you. You fall back. All of you hear the ping of Parker's head hitting the beam before both of them roll off the side. You hear the sound of the bodies hitting the floor, and you hear the shriek again. And then you hear another one. And another one. And another one. Coming from all around you. You don't have time. You don't have time to wonder if Parker is okay. You turn and you run. But as you turn to run, you see another one of these creatures climb up onto the roof of this next building. You see this creature shriek and sprint, takes off towards this group of teenagers standing there. You see it goes to slam into probably one of the other girls, and Joy. It's like sprinting to basically tackle the two of you off the roof. And you see the football player sprint and meet that tackle, slam into him. Both of them spin off and fall off of the side of the roof. You see another one climbing up, reaching, snarling, screeching, as it walks, it jumps up behind Marty, grabs onto the clothes, pulls Marty back, and bites into the side of Marty's neck. You hear a tearing sound as flesh is ripped, blood spatters out onto the rooftop, and you watch Marty's eyes begin to roll back as this creature takes him, tucks him under his arm, and begins to climb down the side of the building. You run. You keep running. You see the next drop. You see the next beam. You see the next guideline, and you sprint. You're moving so fast, you definitely slip on this beam more than once. Slam your knee into it. Hang from it for a moment. Glad the rope is here. Glad you can hold on to it. You pull yourself back up. And you sprint further. The shrieks are coming from behind you. You glance back and you see these things. They don't even need to be on the beams. You see them jump. Some of them, you hear them slam into the windows of the buildings below. Some of them make it to the rooftop itself and climb up to chase you. Your only hope is to find the beams. You're running. You're sprinting. You're sliding. You're panting, you maybe even screaming, you're not sure, you can't hear over the sound of your heartbeat in your throat, in your ears. But you're running. Eventually these beams will lead to somewhere. Eventually these beams will lead to safety.